This meeting of Senate Finance and Claims will come to order. Silence your phones. The clerk will take the roll.
Vice Chair Glimm.
Here.
Vice Chair Ellis.
Here.
Senator Solomon.
Here.
Senator McGilvery.
Excused.
Senator Boldman.
Excused.
Senator Bartel.
Here.
Senator Mandeville.
Here.
Senator Morgeau.
Here.
Senator Lenz.
Here.
Senator Lang.
Here.
Senator Lynch.
Excuse.
Senator Bogner.
Here.
Senator Cuff.
Here.
Senator Flowers.
Excused.
Senator Fuller.
Here.
Senator Vance.
Excused.
Senator Pope.
Here.
Senator Wellborn.
Here.
Chairman Esp.
Here. Members of the committee, we just have one bill today. The other sponsor had a doctor's appointment today that wound up to be canceled. So we could have had it today, but I had already canceled the bill. We're probably going to try to have a hearing in here on Monday, and it may be at 4:30 in the afternoon to give everybody time to do their other committees. And we'll probably have three or four or five bills that came off the floor this week. This bill, good senator from the far north is going to present here in a minute. It, we also had on the floor earlier this week. It was re-referred to us for the financial implications. And generally when we have people testify on bills that have been through second reading already, they speak to the financial implications of the bill. Senator, would you like to open on your bill?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, who is probably very far to the south. Who knows? I am delighted to be here amongst this auspicious group. I was going to say auspicious and intimidating group. There is nothing quite this like this room, and to be surrounded. I have an appreciation for how those who are not as who do not have the opportunity to come as often as some of us do. But I do appreciate your being here, and I do want to speak to this bill. First of all, this was work that the State Administration Veterans Affairs Interim Committee did, and the bill was trying to address how to help a plan become more how to help a plan amortize sooner and without causing a huge shockwave. And if you go to the fiscal note, and you're used to reading fiscal notes, so I like to go to the very back because that's where the end, that's what really matters, right? It's the bottom line and the last thing that's said. So you'll notice that there's a lot of savings there, and the net impact is indicated there. And the net impact is more positive because of the way that it is less than what it might otherwise be, because we're doing a 0.01% increase on the employer across the board for the, I want to get this right, for employer contributions for members under the defined contribution plan. And this is consequently going to amount to a 1% decrease, and then a quicker path to amortize, or a lower, a fewer years for amortization. I shouldn't say quicker path, but a lower number of years to amortization. I have experts here that can speak even more clearly to this bill than what I have just stumbled through, and I'm only going to be too happy to listen to them as well as listen to your questions, and I will sit and receive both. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thanks, Senator. Are there any proponents in the room for Senate Bill 29?
Chairman Esk, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Joe Briggs, B-R-I-G-G-S. I am the chairman of the Cascade County Commission, and I'm here today representing the Montana Association of Counties. It may surprise some of you that we rise in support of this bill, but having a stable, funded pension system is very important to counties. It's one of the places where we compete for employees. We can never compete with the private sector and raw dollars. But the benefits we offer is a place where we can compete. So although we don't, no one's going to relish having to increase our contributions, we feel that this bill is a very common sense, appropriate way to help address this problem. So for that reason, we would ask you for a due pass on this piece of legislation. And I would stand for questions.
Thank you, sir. For the proponents of Senate Bill 29.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, Dory Schwenden, Executive Director for the Pension Systems at MPERA. My name is spelled first name D-O-R-E, last name S-C-H-W-I-N-D-E-N. As the good sponsor had already mentioned, this bill came through the SAVA Interim Committee. The Public Employees Retirement Board has authorized us to be here as a proponent. I'd like to answer any questions that you might have about the financial impact or the status of the PERS system. Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Any further proponents of Senate Bill 29? Further proponents? Seeing none. Are there any online?
We have no online participants today, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any opponents to Senate Bill 29? Opponents? Any opponents online?
None online, Mr. Chair.
Any informational witnesses in the room? Any informational witnesses online?
None online.
Seeing none, questions from the committee? Senator Glimm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For Mr. Briggs.
Briggs.
Mr. Chairman, Senator.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Briggs, you said that this is a way for you to be able to compete. Is there any other employers that you compete with that offer a defined benefit pension system?
There are very few, sorry, Mr. Chairman, Senator, to my understanding, there are very few defined benefit systems left. And so, and of course, somebody who comes in now comes in under the defined contribution system, not the defined benefit system. But still, having a pension plan helps counties be able to recruit employees. We don't tend to have the younger demographic among county employees. People wait till they have children. When they become more interested in a pension plan, they become more interested in insurance, especially health insurance. And that's where we can be competitive, is in those arenas.
Further question?
Follow-up, Mr. Chairman.
Follow-up.
Did I hear you right that you said that somebody that comes in now currently is not under the defined benefit plan?
That is my understanding, sir.
Can I re-refer, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator.
Mr. Schwenden?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Glimm.
Mr. Schwenden, is the our current new hires still getting a defined benefit policy?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Glimm, the new members into the PERS system, which is what we're speaking of today, have a year opportunity to make an election to join the defined benefit plan or the defined contribution plan. If they make no election, they default into the defined benefit plan, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Follow-up, Mr. Chairman?
Follow-up.
Mr. Schwenden, do you know of anybody else that offers a defined benefit plan that our public employers would compete against in the private sector?
I do, Mr. Chair. I actually know some private employers in Cascade County and in Great Falls that offer defined benefit plans and have funded those for their employees over the course of time, yes.
Suppose you could get us a list of those?
These are from my personal knowledge, Mr. Chair.
All right. Thank you.
What are the questions, Senator Ellis?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for Mr. Schwinden, Director Schwinden.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ellis.
Mr. Chairman, Director Schwinden. This particular bill, my understanding is it's a contribution towards not only the defined benefit, but also the defined contribution plan. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ellis, yes. This is a continuation of the reforms that were in House Bill 454 from the 2013 session, which increased the employer contribution by 0.1% for both the DB employers and DC employers.
Further question? No. Any further questions from the committee? Mr. Swindon? One more follow-up, then.
Mr. Chairman.
You have a copy of the fiscal note?
Yes, sir.
So the page 3, where it says funding of expenditures, some of it is general fund, some special revenue, federal special revenue, and then some of it is university and local governments and those things. Do the local governments pay their own share of the employer contribution?
Mr. Chairman, yes, that's correct. That top of page 3 goes through the various expenditures from the various employer units. And you will see that in 24, it's all zeros. That's because that prior legislation doesn't expire until 24.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any further questions? Senator Pope.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Schwinden, thank you. Just a quick question for background, really. In a periods of inflation, does that benefit a pension's underlying capital base such that maybe contributions into the future wouldn't have to be as – these are pretty modest, I think, but anyway – if you have any thoughts on that. Thank you.
Mr. Swinton, would you care to opine?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Pope, I'll do my best. The inflation rate is the building block for many of the economic assumptions that the actuaries do. For example, our inflation assumption right now is 2.75. We do an experience study every 5 years that compares how the experience compared with the assumptions. We also do an annual valuation on June 30th every year, which is a snapshot in time about the financial condition of all of the pension plans. So we pressed the actuary pretty hard as they were preparing the last valuation about the increase in inflation rates. And, of course, we would have liked to have seen 6%, because to achieve a 7.3% return on investment, right, you'd only need a real return of 1.3. Right. So again, for almost every economic consumption, including wage growth, return on investment, et cetera, it's the first building block is the inflation rate, Mr. Right. Chair.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further questions from the committee? Seeing none, would the sponsor care to close on her bill?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and thank you, committee, for a very good hearing, and I hope that you had all your questions answered. This is a very good step in a good path, and I highly recommend a due pass. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and committee.
This closes the hearing on Senate Bill 29. Does anyone have objection to doing executive action on the bill at this point in time? Seeing none. Senator Glimm.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 29 do pass.
You've heard the motion of Senator Glimm. if you look on the first page of the fiscal note, you'll notice that employees are contributing 7.9%, and then the various employers have different rates that under this bill are escalating over time. So you need to be aware of that dynamic going on within our pension system. Right now, it's less for the employee, more for the employer. Any discussion on the bill? Seeing none, should we try a voice vote? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Let the record reflect that Vice Chair Glimm votes against the bill. Motion passes.
Mr. Chairman, I have a proxy for Senator Flowers. Aye by plenum. He votes aye.
Vice Chair Glimm, do you have proxies also?
I do for, I don't know who. I'll get with the Secretary and they all vote aye.
All righty, thank you. Any further business to come before us? Well, Senator McGilvray is here now. Are you planning on having a meeting on Monday in here? Okay. Then I think we, as Finance and Claims, will meet at 4:30 on Monday afternoon, and that way we don't interfere with all the rest of your committees. Any further business? Seeing none, meeting is adjourned.
Oh, well, that's Janet's.
We can't stay all night either.
So all my guys were here? Sweet.
I hope he talks to us.
Okay,
now about
good.
For Bill, too. So I would do all five of them.